This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, have you ever had a time in your life, and this is not a positive thing, it's not a positive question, where you said, I will never do this, and a year later you did it? This will never happen in my life, and 6 months later it did happen. I would never say this to my wife or my husband. I would never say this to my children or my parents, and you find yourself doing or saying the very thing that you said you would never do, you would never say. Have you done that? We all have. Every man, every woman, every young person in this room has done that at one time or another, where we do something we said would never happen. We've said something that we said we would never say. And today we're going to talk about two words, failure and recovery, in a man by the name of Simon Peter. Peter said, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. I am willing to lay down my life for you. That's how loyal I am, Lord. And three times in that same day, Peter denied that he even knew Christ. He failed miserably. But I want you to know that the Lord knew that he would fail. And get this, the Lord knew he would recover. You know what? The Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. Remember that. You think you know yourself and you understand how you think. A lot of people brag about how well they understand themselves. You don't know anything compared to what the Lord knows about you and what he knows about me. And the one who knows you the best knows when you're going to fail, I think, and he knows what you're going to do when you recover. And this is a message not about failure only. It's a message about failure, spiritual failure, and recovery by looking at an incident in the life of Simon Peter. It's in Luke 22. Where we pick it up. Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Jesus is speaking. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, when you recover, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Then if you'll go to verse 54, then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Listen to this. This is one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Well, in point of fact, this is one of the most poignant passages of Scripture in all of the Gospels. And I want to explain to you something we're going to do differently this week. I've only done this once or twice in 35 years on the radio, but we're going to read the text every day. I think it's that important of a text that we're going to share it every day on Cross Hope. Tune in tomorrow as we continue this message. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, before we begin today's program, just this word. Only two or three times in 35 years on the radio have I done what I'm doing this week. And that is simply this, I'm reading and rereading the text every day of the week. I feel this text from Luke 22 is so important regarding the denial of the Apostle Peter, denying that he knew Christ three times. that we need to share it every day. So I'm going to begin the program each day this week, reading the text, at least part of it, if not all of it. Luke 22 is the chapter, and we pick it up in verse 31. Jesus is speaking, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go with you to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you even know me." And then if you'll jump to verse 54, it says this, "Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." Peter went outside and wept bitterly.
I want you to get the drama and the pathos of this story. It's one of the most dramatic stories in the New Testament, and it's certainly one of the most dramatic moments in the life of the Apostle Peter, or also referred to as Simon. He claims to be the one who's going to stand with Christ. "I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to death with you." But three times, the Lord says, "You will deny that you even know me." Can I tell you what denial is in your life and in my life? Because that's what this lesson's all about. Not just to tell you a story about Peter, but to talk about your life and my life. You deny Christ and I deny Christ, get this, when we pretend that we don't know him. I want you to reach back in your memory. Have you ever been at a mall? Have you ever been at a public place where you saw someone you knew that knew you and they pretended they didn't know you? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. When you're a minister, people pretend not to know you all the time. And I really mean that. Like, "Oh gosh, I haven't been to church in 6 months," and they cover their face and walk a certain way with their head down. I mean, I've seen that over the years many times. Has anyone pretended not to know you? Now here's my question. How did you feel? Did you feel warm and fuzzy inside when somebody pretended they didn't know you? Do you have a feeling of warmth that came all over you because somebody pretended they didn't know you? No, you didn't. You felt hurt.
Well, folks, this is a very personal message for you and me because we know the times that we have denied Christ. And we talk about tomorrow what it means to deny, examples of denial in your family and in your extended family or where you work, where you go to school. We'll continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, believe it or not, in nearly 35 years of being on the radio, I can only think of two or three times in those 35 years that I have read the current text of the message every day as a part of the program. There are certain scriptures that are so overwhelmingly powerful that you feel the need to read it again each day of the week, and that's what I'm doing today and this week. I'm going to read a part of the passage you heard yesterday from Luke 22, where Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. What I'm rereading today is verse 31 of chapter 22. It goes like this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you've turned back, strengthen your brothers." But Peter replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go with you to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." you will deny three times that you know me. Let's pick up the message where we left off yesterday.
Has anyone pretended not to know you? Now, here's my question. How did you feel? Did you feel warm and fuzzy inside when somebody pretended they didn't know you? Do you have a feeling of warmth that came all over you because somebody pretended they didn't know you? No, you didn't. You felt hurt. Can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has Peter, one of the three closest associates of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and he says, I don't know him. And three times, in fact, one of the gospels says, Peter swore an oath. He cussed and said, I don't know him. Three times he denied him. We deny Christ when we pretend to not know him at work. We deny Christ when we pretend not to know him in a social situation. We deny Christ when we pretend we don't know him in amongst family. Is there ever a time when you deny Christ simply by pretending not to know him? That can happen to any of us. I want you to notice also that when the Lord told him that you will deny, I want you to know the Lord knew also that he would come back. Folks, that's a word for somebody today. The Lord knows you may leave him, you may be unfaithful to him, but you will come back. That's an encouraging word for somebody today, perhaps who needs to know that about a family member. The Lord who knows when people are going to leave also knows they're going to come back. I think one of the greatest ministries in the body of Christ is simply to pray for people to come back home. The prodigal son is not just about a teenage son who left his dad 2,000 years ago. It's a parable of life for people in the body of Christ today. Churches are full of prodigals. Men and women and young people who said, I'm not going to have anything to do with the Lord, but the good news is they come back home. They come back home. Come back home to the Father. And that's the blessing, and that's the positive part of it. When Peter denies Jesus, he's denied in these dramatic situations where people point to him and say, he's one of them. No, I'm not. You talk about drama, and then I want to talk about that verse. If we could bring up verse 61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word the Lord spoke to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. I want to talk about the word the Lord looked at him. I don't think the Lord looked at him with hatred. I don't think the Lord looked at him with disdain and shaking. Well, I knew you'd do that, pal. I don't think it was that kind of look that we give to people. I think it was a look of love.
Well, question, if the Lord was looking at your life today, what would he see? And what would be the look on his face looking at you and me? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, if you've been listening this week, you know that I'm doing something different, something I've only done two or three times in 35 years on the radio, and that is to read or reread the text or part of it each day of the week. I feel it's that strong of a passage. We're going to do that today. By reading the last part of the text, in Luke 22, beginning at verse 54, it says this, then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with Jesus. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this man was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And then listen to this. Then Peter went outside, and he wept bitterly. Let's continue the message.
When verse 62, if we could bring that up, and he went outside and wept bitterly, just as an aside here, that term wept bitterly doesn't mean what you may think it means. You know, to weep in bitterness has a whole different connotation. I found out in this case the word bitterly means to weep convulsively. I don't want anybody to raise hands, but have you ever wept so much that you were shaking, that your whole body was convulsing? That's how Peter wept, as he was just overwhelmed, I think, with feeling of guilt and remorse. Now, I want to talk about recovery here for a few minutes. The most powerful sermon that was ever given in the 6 years that we were in Atlanta was not given by me at the church. It was given by Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson spoke my first year there. There were over 2,000 people packed into that sanctuary to hear Chuck Colson speak. He was related to someone in the community. The long and short of it was he spoke at Mount Carmel to a packed house. And I want to share with you something that Chuck Colson shared. Chuck Colson was the one who worked for President Nixon. He was a Marine. He was an attorney. He was a brilliant man, but he ended up going to prison. And I want you to listen to what he said. The real legacy of my life was my biggest failure. Never heard anyone say that before. The real legacy of my life was my biggest failure. I was an ex-convict. My greatest humiliation, being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. Listen to that sentence again. My greatest humiliation, being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. Some of you didn't hear that. That's a powerful statement. And you say, what's your point? God, he says, chose the one experience in which I could not glory for his glory. The one thing that he couldn't brag about. The one experience he couldn't hold up and say, look at what I've done, was the most embarrassing, most humiliating experience. And God says, that's what I'm going to use to work in your life for God's glory. And he did. God wants to take whatever you feel has humiliated you and use it for his glory. New thought for somebody today.
Well, I want you to hear the conclusion of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope from Luke 22, where Peter denies that he even knows Jesus three times. It speaks to something going on perhaps in your life today. Our website is crosshope.org. Well, we've only done this two or three times in 35 years on the radio, but we're rereading the text every day of the week. We're rereading the text today about the denial of Peter three times where he said, I don't know Jesus. Does that speak to something in your life maybe going on right now? You're living in denial of your faith in Christ, perhaps publicly or privately. Let's read the text, or at least part of it, one more time, and then we'll conclude the message. God bless you. Well, Luke 22:31 says this, Jesus is speaking, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Simon Peter replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me.
What is it that you have that's happened in your life that you can't delight in, you can't brag about? Are you willing to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, would you use it for your glory? And I believe the Lord will do that. I really believe that the Lord will do that. I remember reading about a man who lost his wife in an automobile accident. He had the task of raising two or three children alone. Here's what he said. One day I was walking through a park and I saw a sign on the grass that described me. It was posted in an area where new grass had been planted and the sign said, not ready for use, healing. Not ready for use, healing. I really believe that some people, maybe in this room, you could have that sign put over your life that you're not ready for use, you're healing. But there comes a time when you are healed spiritually. And there is a time when there's a sense of wholeness that comes back into your life. And get this, God can use the failure in your life more than he'll use your success. We live in a culture that's so success-oriented and so success-absorbed and success-obsessed that we think, well, only God could use our successes in life. And I want to suggest to you that God may do more with a committed failure than he would ever do with a lukewarm success. God can do more with a committed failure than he can do with a lukewarm success. Let the Lord use whatever's happened in your life. And you say, how do you know that? Why would you believe that, Randy, for a minute, that God does that? Because the Bible says in Corinthians that God delights, get this, in using my weakness to demonstrate his strength. Listen to that again. God delights in using my weakness to demonstrate his strength. That's how God operates. It's not about us, it's about him. It's not about our strength and power, it's about what he can do in our weakness. Is there anything in your life that needs to come down? Figuratively speaking, is there a structure in your life that you have set up in a corner of your heart and it's become an idol for you? An idol is anything in my life that takes the place of God. It can be anything. It can be a person. And you've got that structure in your life, and maybe today, in the name of Christ, tear it down. And that can happen today. Decide. Decide to take those things down. This message is about failure, but it's a message about recovery. Peter failed terribly. He denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times. But the Lord says, Peter, when you turn back, when you recover, strengthen the brothers. Let me use what happened to bless other people. He'll do the same in your life. Let's pray together.
Well, what is the failure identified in your life that God can use as something to bless you or to work through? You say, I can't think of anything. Pray about that right now, and he'll tell you what it is. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.